I'm Todd Zwillick. John Hockenberry and Adore Udoji are away.
And who's taken over? I'm Catherine Lamford, sitting here with Todd Zwillick. Now, the United States is far from the only nation to develop a plan to get its economy back on track. At least 33 other countries have done the same. And this morning, we're going to look at places like China or the European Union to see how they are handling this challenge. And maybe there are some ideas we can steal. What advice do they have for us? We're joined now in the studio by Justin Fox. He is a business and economics columnist at Time Magazine. He also does their Curious Capitalist blog. Good to have you here, Justin.
Good to be here.
All right. If we're going to be curious about what other countries are doing, maybe we should start with China. They're the big guns, right?
Well, and they're the one other country on earth that's really going whole hog to the extent that the U.S. is, at least in terms of the numbers they've put out.
What does whole hog mean in terms of China? And now I'm hungry. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know
Mushu,
if that was the right
whole hog.
terminology. But the issue is just that, I mean, the way to look at most of these stimulus packages is as a percentage of gross domestic product, as a percentage of the size of the economy. And everybody, all these different governments throw these numbers out there, and you don't know exactly what's new and what's not and what's this year and what's next year. But basically, China is the one other country where the package seems to be up there in the 5 or 6 or 7% of GDP
I think it was
range.
Something around 6%,
yeah.
Right? All right. And they were including also a big push to get into rural areas. I remember the one thing that stuck with me, something like 13%. Some sort of, I don't want to say tax credit, but they
wanted
to get
rural
spending.
Families to buy washing machines, I think, and other appliances. That seemed to be one of the big things. And one of the interesting things with China is in the U.S. we're talking about doing this infrastructure spending. Basically, China has been spending hundreds of billions of dollars on new infrastructure every year anyway. And so when they announced we're going to do some more infrastructure spending, everybody kind of yawned. So it's these other plans in China, these tax breaks, these incentives to go buy
a washing machine.
Yeah, or I mean, maybe they're talking more like blenders. I don't know, because rural Chinese people in general aren't very wealthy. So.
But with such an export dependent economy, China's hurting because we're hurting because
right.
we're not buying their exports. Is there so much they can really do domestically because they don't have a lot of domestic demand, or do they?
Well, that's the whole idea of this: is to create some more domestic demand to create somebody else to buy all that stuff they're making besides us. And I think long-term China would like to switch to that. There are these countries like Japan and Germany that just always run surpluses, always export more than they bring in. But it sort of feels like the Chinese government over time, but they want to do it on their own time frame, would like to switch to a place where they buy about as much as they sell.
Of course, it seems like the big debate in this country is how much do we want to do something that has a short-term impact to help goose the economy versus the long-term investment that we actually need. Are we seeing that same debate in all 33 other countries?
Yeah, and I mean, I guess in most of the countries, there's also much more, even more of a debate than there is in the U.S. about should we be doing this at all? Keynesian economics is just not as fashionable outside the English-speaking world as within. And also, there are a lot of emerging market countries. China's different because it just has these huge cash reserves built up over years of exporting more than they imported. But a lot of emerging market countries can't do what we're doing in the U.S. and borrow trillions of dollars on the global markets.
I was just going to say, so what sort of bind does that leave developing countries in?
That some of them, even though, I mean, basically what you hear from a lot of people from developing countries, oh, finally, a financial crisis that nobody can blame on us. But a lot of developing countries may end up being harder hit than the U.S. simply because they don't have the sort of fiscal leeway that we do.
Let's talk about some of the ideas we can steal. I mean, innovative measures in other countries.
Well, I mean, one of my favorites, because Alan Blinder, economics professor at Princeton and former vice chairman of the Fed, has been pushing this for about 6 or 7 months. And I guess it exists on the state level, but it's the idea of you create some sort of cash bonus to give to people who turn in their old junky polluting cars. And so the idea is you have this great environmental effect. You're getting old junky cars off the streets, and you're giving people, I don't know, $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 that they would maybe use to go buy a new car or a newer car. And Germany actually has that, and it's kind of perverse because there aren't very many junky old cars on German streets, so I don't know how much impact, but it's very popular there apparently. That's one that I just wish I don't understand why Congress doesn't bite on that for the U.S. because we have much greater potential of really crummy old cars.
Lots of crummy old cars. They have fabulous cars in Germany. Well, Justin, is there any coordination going on here? You said that Congress isn't biting on these great ideas from Europe, but on 33 economic stimulus plans, are there 33 cats to be herded, or is there any coordination going on between economies?
Well, just the fact that every developed economy is either doing something or at least claiming to be doing something, I think a lot of people see that as this encouraging contrast to the 1930s when nobody did, just people could not get their act together. Everybody was always working at cross purposes. And basically the idea is if everybody's stimulating all at once, then you don't have a sudden run on the dollar or some other currency of a country that's stimulating. So I think the feeling and just generally you get more stimulus out there because all these different countries are doing it. So I wouldn't say it's super well coordinated, but I do think there's this general agreement that, oh, we all need to do something here.
Okay, and what about deficit? Because the U.S. has huge deficits, no doubt about it. China's in surplus, some economies in surplus, others in deficits like us. With all of this stimulus spending going on, is the world spending itself into greater deficit right now, or are they, or this deficits and the surpluses balancing out?
No, they don't. I mean, there's going to be a bunch. Well, what there is, there's going to be a bunch of government debt that wasn't there before. But the flip side of that is on the private level, consumers in the U.S. and businesses in the U.S. to a large extent are cutting back their borrowing really dramatically. And that's the whole argument for this stimulus is that private borrowers aren't borrowing or can't borrow. So let the governments do it for 6 months or a year or 2 years or whatever. I mean, they can't do that forever, but that's the reasoning.
I want to go back to what the differences are between the discussion that's happening in this country and the discussion that's happening around the world outside this country.
Well, I mean, obviously, outside the in terms of causes, everybody outside the country, you know, knows that the cause is the United States. so that's real simple for everybody to blame us. Within the U.S., we're still having all these discussions about, you know, was it Fannie Mae or was it bad regulation or was it?
What does that conversation look like to people outside this country?
Just like normal internal. Blah, blah, blah.
Gas bagging.
Yeah. I mean, I think all countries have this internally. My sense is that the people looking at the U.S. from outside generally just want us to, you know, figure out something that gets our economy going again, and then they can all hammer on us later.
And getting back on Todd's question about coordination, the G20 is going to meet in April, I believe.
Correct.
All right. And will that serve as sort of a coordinating effort with all of these different stimulus plans?
Yeah, to some extent. I imagine that most of the discussion will be about sort of moving on to the next stage of a new global regime of banking regulation to some extent.
Ooh, and, new global
world order. Exactly.
They don't usually like that discussion in Congress, do they?
No, and it'll be really interesting to see once Congress notices that it's going on in the rest of the world what the reaction is going to be. I mean, one of the things that a lot of the finance ministers from around the world want to do is make the IMF a lot bigger and more powerful than it is now.
Todd, I can't see that flying in Washington.
Well, I'll tell you what, it wouldn't have flied 10 years ago, that's for sure. But with a gigantic Democratic majority, I think the dynamic's a little bit different.
Well, and just the dynamic of the people who are going to be tiding us over through all this deficit spending for the rest of the next couple of years are mostly from the rest of the world, and I think to some extent we have to listen to them.
I can't help but wonder, with the 33 countries, all with the different stimulus packages, the new administration here, are we going to see a change in some of the international relations with our financial leaders and financial leaders in Europe? I mean, is there any some sort of change that's going to happen because everyone's in this mess?
It feels like the time of basically the U.S. calling all the shots on how global financial structure is put together. It feels like that's going to be over. But I guess there's so many people who've spent so much time over the past 30 years predicting the end of U.S. dominance in one thing or the other that I'm always a little dubious of saying. But it feels like there's this new world coming where places like China and India will have a lot more say, and the U.S. will have a bit less.
All right. Justin Fox, always good to talk to you.
Good to be here.
Justin Fox is a business and economics columnist for Time magazine. He writes their Curious Capitalist blog.